And we'll do our prayer sheet. Again, it's the prayers to be recited at teaching, so we do those first four prayers. I'm going to have a sip of hot water. And let's, those of us who have not just done meditation and chanting for an hour, let's all bring our minds to rest for a moment into just awareness of how it feels to be in our body in this present moment of awareness, letting our attention come into our body. In Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, I take refuge till I awaken through all the virtues such as giving. May I reach Buddhahood for beings. In Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, I take refuge till I awaken through all the virtues such as giving. May I reach Buddhahood for being. In Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, I take refuge till I awaken. Through all the virtues such as giving, may I reach Buddhahood for beings. Prostrating, offering, confessing, rejoicing, urging, supplicating, whatever virtue I've collected, I dedicate it to awakening. The ground perfumed and strewn with flowers, Meru, four continents, sun and moon, this imagined Buddha field offering, may all beings dwell in the pure realms according to the different propensities of beings. Please turn the wheel of Dharma, great, lesser, and uncommon. I did not remember to bring my teacher prayers. That's what I left, that and the earbuds. They're sitting at home in Richmond, Virginia. So, may the four dharmas of Gampopa be realized, and may all beings be able to understand the teachings in whatever language they may have. But we can do the bodhicitta prayer, which I didn't get out, and I probably don't want to do it from memory. So if you still have your folders and you want to chant along with this, not really chanting particularly, we're going to the reminder for arousing bodhicitta at the beginning of teaching. And we say that together, or just think it as we hear it. It sets our motivation of both aspiration bodhicitta and action bodhicitta for this particular teaching. Let us begin by giving rise to the thought that in order to benefit all sentient beings whose numbers fill the extent of space, I must attain the level of perfect enlightenment. In order to bring this about, I will practice the profound Mahayana Dharma by way of study, contemplation, and meditation. All right, I'm just going to put my copy back in my folder so that I don't take it away with me somewhere. All right, and now we're on to the 12 links. So for the benefit of anyone who is joining us for the first time, we're going to just look at the chart for a minute. Do you have, you can look at the copy that Patrick has. And we're actually... We're also going to review from a book that I'm introducing today. It's not about the 12 links, but it's Bokhar Rinpoche's book, Profound Wisdom of the Heart Sutra. And he has a couple of pages on the 12 links, which are extremely helpful, I think, and make a good review. And so in the first turning of the wheel, the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths, the Five Skandhas, the 12 links of interdependent origination, like how samsara works, like what we're stuck in. And then in the second turning of the wheel, he demolished it all with the idea of emptiness, that in some sense, none of this is ultimately real or ultimately happening. And so in Volkar Rinpoche's book about the Heart Sutra, in which the teaching on emptiness is concisely expressed, he spends a little time introducing the teachings of the first turning of the wheel, including the 12 links, so that there's a background for understanding what it is that's empty. So we're going to read a little bit from that after we take a minute to just look at the chart. So what we're looking at here is the wheel of life. This does not have like Yama on top, like holding the wheel of life in his teeth, the Lord of Death. But held in the teeth of the Lord of Death is cyclic existence. And it is portrayed in the form of a wheel. And in the middle of a wheel is the cause of samsara. And what samsara is defined as is a confused state of mind. It is a confused way of experiencing reality. And so what our path is all about is dispelling that confusion. So, but first we need to know what the confusion looks like. Like, what is it that we're confused about? What is it that we're stuck in? What's the problem with confusion? Like, maybe it's fine to be confused, except that the problem with confusion is that it causes us to suffer. That, the Buddha taught, is where all of our suffering comes from, is from seeing things in a confused way. And to oversimplify it a bit, I think it's easy to understand that confusion as we see things through the filter of our obscuring emotions. We see things through the filter of desire. We see things through the filter of anger, like whatever it is we're experiencing, jealousy, pride, all of those things that skew like our vision and our experience of what's really happening. So Buddhism is about learning to see through those states, learning to see that those states are not ultimately real and that they are obscuring like our vision, our view of reality. So the cause is this middle circle. Everybody who's on here probably has this. These are the emotions. These are the basic root emotions, the three root poisons. Confusion or ignorance is represented by a pig, and anger is represented by a snake, and the rooster here, or the bird, represents desire. Those are the three root poisons that cause all of our confusion. And then on the outside, like this one does not have the six realms on the outside. So this other diagram that I also have sent out by email, the next circle is the six realms of existence. So how those emotions play out for us individually determines what realm we are stuck in. And these realms are traditionally presented as places that we're born in. Like right now, we're in the human realm. We're not in the hell realm or the hungry ghost realm or any of the gods realms or the animal realm. But psychologically, we pass through those states psychologically all the time. If you're really caught in anger, for example, that's the hell realm. If you're really caught in neediness, like genuinely not having what you need or just feeling that you don't have what you need, that's the hungry ghost realm, and so forth and so on. So within the human realm, we can experience all of these as psychological states. And it's also taught that they are places that we can really get stuck in, to the extent that we could be born in a hell realm or born in a hungry ghost realm or born in the animal realm next time around. So these six realms are outside the three root poisons. And I just said what they were, but the hell realm, the hungry ghost realm, the animal realm, the jealous gods realm, the human realm, and the gods realm, right, called the heaven realm here. And usually when you have the full wheel of life and not just a sort of broken down simplified diagram, it between the three root poisons and the six realms is like a little circle that has some, like a person going up to the higher realms through their karma playing out, or going down to the lower realms. And so it's all just a reminder of how this whole thing works, how our karma works, how our emotionality works to keep us stuck in certain kinds of confusion. And so then that brings us to the outer realm, which is like more minute, more detailed, like how does this cycle actually work, both as it's presented in this diagram. This diagram is from Kala Rinpoche's Luminous Mind, sort of focuses more on from one life to another. So a lot of these states are happen within the bardo, like between two lifetimes. but it's explained and understood that it also plays out moment by moment. We recreate this cycle moment by moment to keep ourselves stuck in the confusion of samsara. So reading from Kala Rinpoche's version, and we'll go over this, but just for the benefit of those who are not familiar with these teachings, the first link, it all starts with ignorance. It all starts with that basic confusion of perceiving ourselves as separate and everything else as other. And then all of our emotions come from reacting in that field of separateness. Everything is either something we want or something we don't want. From ignorance, like from the state of sort of blank ignorance, the next link, link two, the first thing that happens is mental formations, which we understand as the stirrings of karma from our previous lifetime. Like all the habitual patterns that we have built up in previous lifetimes being starting to be felt again. And through that link, the next several links take place. Like how we are in this life is formed in links 3, 4, 5, and 6. We could also 7. We could include all of those. Mostly like 3, 4, and 5. So in 3, we have the mental skandhas, the mental aggregates, like our sort of personality, how we are mentally, our mental inclinations are formed. And then from that, what's called name and form, where we acquire a form. Like the name part refers to the 4 mental skandhas, our mental state, which is fully formed in link 3. In link 4, it takes on a physical form, our body. And Trungpa Rinpoche explains that this, in terms of one life to the next, we're talking about the embryo, like the first cells that come into being from our mental state, our mental karma. And then in that state, in that embryonic state, we develop the 5 sense, the 6 sense media in link 5. That's our ability to see and hear and all of the other senses. And then in link 6, those begin to contact the outer world. They come into contact with their objects. We have the ability to see in link 5, and in link 6, that connects with an object and we see something. We see the tankas behind me. We see the people in front. And then in 7, link 7, and this all happens very fast, like just instantaneously. In link 7, we have a reaction. We made contact with the outer world. What we think of through link 1 as separate from ourselves, we've made contact with it and through our senses. And then in link 7, we immediately have a reaction to it. And it's still a very rudimentary reaction. It is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. That's all that happens in link 7. So from links 1 through 7, we have no control. I mean, if we could bypass link 1, ignorance, and see things as they really are, then nothing else has to unfold. But if that doesn't happen, then links 2 through 7 are automatic. There's nowhere we can intervene in there to stop the cycle. But when we get to link 8, links 8, craving, that's where we can start to be aware of like what we're doing here. Because this is where we start to recreate the cycle again. What happens in link 7 through 10 is how we start the whole cycle again. So we've felt something as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral in link 7. And then in link 8 is where we want the pleasant thing to continue. We want more of it. Or we want the unpleasant thing to go away. We don't want it anymore. We want to get away from it. But it's still just a rudimentary feeling in this link 8 of craving. In link 9, we start to plan how we're going to go after it. Like, how am I going to get that ice cream? I saw the ice cream. I thought of the ice cream. Now I must have the ice cream. But we still haven't done anything. We're still good. Like, you could intervene at either of these stages and not do the thing, not open the freezer and get the ice cream out and start eating it. That happens in link 10, becoming. So link 10 is where we actually incur the karma that will play out in links 11 and 12, causing that's what brings about our experience in this life. And then through that, the whole thing starts again with we fall into ignorance. When we die, we fall into a blank state, and then we get them in. So at that point, in the next cycle, what happens in link two, mental formations, is the fruition of links 8 through 10 in our current cycle. So does that more or less make sense to everybody? It's a very complex technical topic, but that's sort of the gist of it. And it's really, we're learning that it's really useful to understand this, because we're seeing how we can not take the next step. Like, there's certain places where we could not take the next step and we could cut the cycle off. And so we have not reinforced our compulsion to eat ice cream just at this one time. And every time we don't reinforce it, it weakens the whole habit. Yes, Rama.
So, 8, 9, and 10, if in this life, for example, something becomes, you know, in my life and my journey to the next life, it's likely I have a karmic presence of whatever that becomes in my mental formation in the next journey. Is that right?
We're going to be reading about that today. If I understood you correctly, which I'm not 100% sure I did. So links 1 and 2 are about the past life. Links 3 through 10 are about creating our experience in this life. Mm-hmm. 11 and 12 are about experiencing this life. And but through 8 through 10, we have sown the seeds for the cycle to start again in link 1. So did that answer what you were asking?
I think so.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else have any other questions? Hi, Fanny. Anybody else have any other comments or questions? Okay, John, I'm going to unmute you. Okay.
Okay, so on that second go around the wheel you just mentioned, you started with 2, not 1. So we went straight up to the mental formations again instead of starting back at ignorance again.
I thought I started at ignorance. If I didn't, it does all start at ignorance. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out.
I got confused, so anyway.
Well, who knows? Who knows? Oh, we can't trust our experience is the point. So we don't know. We'll never sort that out. You know, it's like that endless back and forth you get into with your friend or your partner. It's like you remember it this way and they remember it that way. Just don't even go there. Like, just forget it. Was anybody else? Oh, Lama Jinzong, and then John. You didn't have something. Okay. Oh, Jinzong. Okay, you're unmuted.
So for me, it is confusing in the sense that by the time you get to 10, you're actually acting with body, speech, and mind. So to me, that's this life. And so it's always a little confusing then when, at least in Kala Rinpoche's picture here, it then defines 11 where you're now experiencing the result, mm-hmm. and 12 as saying now the bardo from birth to death. So I always get a little confused because I'm like, well, wait a second. Obviously, you've been born because you're now acting on mm-hmm. your thing, and yet somehow that's now. So yeah. It made it easier for me to understand it when you're going to be discussing it today, to think of, like you were saying, that 1 and 2 are about past lives, you know, coming into a result with 3 through 7 in this life. And in this life, again, 3 through 7, you're then acting 8 to 10, and 8 to 10 then tells you that next life, your future life, becomes 11 and 12. So that's why I get a little confused by this. I don't think there's really any way not to, in a way.
I didn't make my disclaimer at the beginning, which I usually make the disclaimer that I'm not really teaching the 12 links.
No, I understand. And so I'm just saying, to me, this is where I get hung up on this one too.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, I think it's a little bit subtle, and I'm not sure that I have sorted it out completely. So you've kind of hit on the point that I'm not 100% sure about. So if as Trungpa Rinpoche says, in name and form, we're just talking about the embryo, like, yeah, we haven't been born yet. So what kind of action are we talking about in 8 through 10? And I'm not going to try to touch that, but if anybody has, like, I think it's, in one sense, it's enough to know, like, this is how the thing works. And there may be some parts of it that we have some more work to do to fully understand. But Dave, I'm hoping that you're raising your hand because you might have some insight here.
Yeah, that exact point has always bothered me about the 12 links. The fact that it's like, all right, so the entire thing is happening between, you know, before you're born, but after the, you know, after the bardo. So it's like, well, how is that relevant? I'm done already. I'm screwed, right? But you know, and then there's the moment to moment thinking where we can intervene, and it's like every moment. But I was catching up on the Thai Sattu Rinpoche's text, and he says in one sentence that they have three time series like interpretations of the 12 links. Mm-hmm. This is on page 58, the very beginning of his discussion of it.
Are you talking about Trungpa Rinpoche's book?
No, Thai Sattu.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said. Page 58 of what? Of Awakening the Sleeping
Rinpoche. Yeah, Awakening the Sleeping Buddha.
Okay, got it.
And he says, this teaching clearly sets out the whole process of continuation of illusion in the larger picture of the cycle of rebirth, samsara, in the shorter continuation of a single lifetime, and in the continuation of every moment. Right. So that was helpful to me.
That is helpful. That's very helpful. So it's helpful to look at it. You could look at birth as, I don't know, name and form. Anyway, so in some sense, though, 8 through 10 is where the action takes place and where we could intervene and like just not take the next step. 11 and 12, we're experiencing the result of 10, where we actually undertook an action that is causing us to experience, you know, certain fallout.
There was also a section
sowing the seeds for the next lifetime.
Right. There was also a section later in Trungpa Rinpoche where he describes them in relation to one action. I think it's like
that. We're going to get to that, but not today. Yeah, he does. And I'm hoping that I have not read that chapter yet. I'm hoping that will elucidate this kind of
question.
But I don't want us to get bogged down in it's good to acknowledge where we don't fully understand how this works, but we don't want to get bogged down in it because this is really useful information even without understanding all the nuances. So thank you, Lama Jinzong, for bringing that up, and John for your question, and Dave for your thoughts on it, and thanks for pointing us to Awakening the Sleeping Buddha. Rama, yeah, and then Don, John didn't have anything. Go ahead. Sorry.
So we're only in 11 and 12.
Yes.
That's all we are.
But in the macrocosmic view of like birth, from one birth, from one life to another, we're in 11 and 12.
This is the only place that we can sort of achieve a certain awareness of our karmic tendencies and what the future of karmic tendency is. And it was that, I mean, you're saying basically 11 and 12 is the only place we can help shape it so that when that journey goes around again and we're trying to sort of we have the craving and the grasping and the becoming, we're able to help shape that in our journey because our awareness, it's hard for us to grasp, you know, that we have that awareness as a soul until that, because we only see what we see here.
Yeah, right. So could people hear questions people online could not hear that question.
And I think the linearity here is a little confusing.
Yeah.
It's not linear.
Yeah, the linearity is confusing. So I think along the same lines of what we've been discussing, I think that Rama is pointing out that right now we're in 11 and 12, you know, when we're talking about that whole cycle, the macrocosmic cycle, we're in 11 and 12. And so everything we're doing is happening within link 11 and 12. But so the circle inside that would be where this plays out in terms of our actions, like all of our actions. So in one sense, we're in 11 and 12, but this whole cycle is repeating again and again and again. We're always in ignorance, and our karmic tendencies, like so we're fine, but we're looking at things in a confused way. We're subject to our emotions, to acting on our emotions. And so we see a billboard advertising ice cream. I mean, this is just me speculating here. But we see the billboard and the mental formations from our previous lifetimes that have built up this love of ice cream, this addiction to ice cream comes into play. And so all of these, you know, we have to look at these a little bit psychological You know, the psychological urge to eat ice cream is taking place through links 3 to 7, and we want it. And then links 8 to 10, we can intervene there within that cycle, within the big cycle of birth and death. Does
in
that
a sense, it's continuous spiraling of various experiences as you
Yeah. So, and it even gets smaller, and this one I don't fully understand, I couldn't fully like put together yet, but it gets even smaller, like from one moment to the next, we're recreating our existence.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And so we could intervene in ignorance anytime, like from second to second, we could see how things really are and not get sucked into that billboard thing. Okay. So
I would say that this is, you know, what you just said, it's like exhorting us to be more meditation.
Yeah, it's exhorting us within 11 and 12. We want to use our time. Sorry, Mark, go ahead. Yes, yeah, say that again.
So without having to look at the chart, we can see it in our minds or our own meditation.
Yeah. Yeah. So we may be within 11 and 12, but what we want to do is become aware of how this cycle works in our experience within 11 and 12, how it plays out again and again, and where we can intervene. And Mark said, so what we really want to do is do more meditation and contemplation and study. Like, there you go. That's the first of the 37 practices of a bodhisattva, is like meditate, contemplate, and study, meditate, and contemplate day and night without distraction. That's what we want to do. And this is part of it. This coming to understand the 12 links is part of it. Like, if we understand what's happening, every teacher I've ever had has said, and Kala Rinpoche just reiterated it at KTC recently, we have to understand how samsara works before we can free ourselves from samsara. But part of the process of understanding how samsara works is engaging in Dharma study, contemplation, and meditation. It all clarifies it. So you're really intervening in ignorance, I think. Whatever practice you do, you're intervening with ignorance. And then when you get sucked into an emotional, you know, whatever current, you could recognize it as, oh, pleasant, unpleasant. If you could dial it back to pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, you would not get into trouble. Like, you don't have any control up to pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, but you could see grasping coming. Like, okay, this is going to lead to either I want to go after it or I want to get away from it. I could not do that. Or you could get sucked into that, like, I really want that ice cream. I'm going to the store. I'm getting in the car right now. That is number 9. And you could say, no. What's happening now is link 9, and next one is link 10, and then I'm in big trouble. So I'm not going to get in the car. I'm going to hide the car keys. I'm not going out for the ice cream. So, and it is one way to look at it. So anybody have any other questions or comments? Yes, Joanne, I'm going to unmute you.
There's a book that my son recommended,
Christopher Roy.
Yes. Okay. The Future is Open. Good Karma, Bad Karma, Beyond Karma by Trodrum Trungpa. And he has sections on meditation. He feels, as you had in agreement with what you said, that we need to sit down with ourselves and look at ourselves very thoroughly and fully. And it's going to be raw and rugged, and there's no excuses. So he really is very emphatic about the practice of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to transcend karmic situations
is meditation.
I wanted to share that.
Is what? Oh.
I hope I was clear.
Yes, I think so. I think is that a fairly new book that's just been published of Trungpa Rinpoche's teaching?
Yes.
Okay, The Future is Open. Is that what it's called?
Yes, The Future is Open.
I'll send an email and include that.
Well, I'll share it with you as well.
Okay, great. Yes, you send it to me, I will share it with the group.
All right.
Okay. All right, anybody else before we go on to the readings? And it's fine if we just discuss it. I mean, it's important to come to an understanding of this. So discussion is just as good as study, or, well, maybe study is a little better because we're hearing from realized teachers. But John, I'm going to unmute you. John Rennish. Okay.
All right. So the comment's not about the topic right here, but
okay.
I was just making a request. If you can repeat the question for the benefit of everyone else that's not at the center, perhaps when you give your explanation, if you could repeat the question, that's all I want
What I'm going to do is ask people to come closer to the computer for their question, because I don't know that I can reconstruct questions efficiently. So anybody who has a comment or a question from henceforth will come up close to the computer. And thank you,
John. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Okay, anybody else got anything? Okay, Dave. Sorry, you unmuted yourself. Good, now you're good.
One other thing I was just reading, and I've read it before, but another way that the 12 links are taught in terms of, you know, your own actions is to work the 12 links in reverse, is like the process of enlightenment. Yeah. So, you know, you can, by pulling back from, like, okay, I have this problem, how do I, I did, like, becoming, you know, and that also might be the lower, like, Hinayana is doing this, and then as you go further back, you're getting more into higher practices until the very, you know, until you remove ignorance. So I don't know if you've ever heard it that way, but I thought it was interesting.
To roll it back one step at a time.
And that's like the process of learning, of practicing the Dharma and going through the three turnings, right? So like removing, like working backwards from, you know, why am I reborn here? Well, there's becoming. And then, you know, becoming was because of adoption of my grasping to my feeling. And like all of that is like Hinayana regulating your behavior. But then as you go backwards and you move more towards the emptiness, you'll get all the way back to the first link. And then once you remove that, you're done. So it's like you're removing the links.
Yeah, in reverse. And Mark sent us an article by Francesca Fremantle in which she described the 12 links backwards. And I think that was the idea. My personal feeling about it is yes, absolutely. And I'm hoping Trungpa Rinpoche will lead us through more of that in the final chapter. But as far as I can tell, not understanding this, say, the way that Sita Rinpoche or Kala Rinpoche understands it, is that there's only certain places we can intervene.
Right.
From our state, like from the state we're in right now, we can look at, you know, we can reverse some of it. We can't reverse old age and death. Like, we can't reverse birth once we're there. And from birth, you know, becoming, grasping, craving, yeah, that's what we're looking at, reversing. Right. Once you get back into link seven, just feeling like pleasant, unpleasant, I don't think I don't feel like I could intervene at any of those and stop the cycle. Maybe at some point, very subtle understanding and realization, it would be possible. But I'm like, what I'm interested in right now for myself is identifying where I can intervene. And so be between name and form and consciousness. I don't think I can do anything about that. But I may be wrong. So we'll see. We'll see what our teachers have to say about it. And, you know, we're going to understand it to a certain extent through this class. We've taken a deep dive into it. But we're not going to come out of it, like, fully able to reverse our confusion, but we're going to have a leg up on it. And then the next time we encounter the teaching, we'll understand this much of it, and we'll be primed to take the next leap or tiny step in understanding. And so maybe at some point we will reach the point where we could intervene at any point. But I think it's really useful to think about that as a possibility. So Joanne, sorry, I'm just unmuting you. You're unmuted.
All right. Are you in agreement of using the 37 practices as antidotes to karmic situations that you're caught up in, defilements? You're trying to get control of the situation. What are your feelings on that?
Absolutely. Like, all of those tools are about this. This is what it's all about. It's about freeing ourselves from basic confusion. And so basically, confusion plays out in three steps. It plays out, and we see these here, you know, this is just breaking it down further. It's the basic poison. We have the poison of desire, anger, ignorance. Well, we have the poison of ignorance. That's where it all comes from, like the misconception of how things are. And that plays out through, the next step in that is the emotions. And then from the emotions, we act. So the 37 practices is a fabulous tool for helping us learn how not to do that, to peel it back, to dial it back in specific situations, among other things. It's a great, you could use that as your guidebook for everything, but all of the Buddhist teachings are about this. So any sources that we have, like the Gampopa, you know, Ornament of Precious Liberation, any of them, but the point is, as we've discussed a couple of times, is always look for the practical application. Like, this is not academic study. The 12 links is not an academic topic. It feels academic, and there's a certain academic component to it. We have to understand it, but it's not just to understand it and be satisfied with that. It's like, how can I use this to free myself from confusion and edge further toward realizing my Buddha nature? John, and we're going to make sure that everybody can hear John.
Hi. What we've been discussing so far is...
Can you hear him?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. All right, so what we've been discussing so far are things like, I want that ice cream, I want that shiny widget, and being able to use these links to combat that sort of impulse control problem. But what about deeper mental issues, deeper psychological issues, depression, schizophrenia, embedded psychosis? Is there a part that this can play in helping to address those concerns?
Well, obviously I'm not an expert in that area, but what I would say from the Buddhist point of view, the Dharma point of view, is first of all, it depends on how much of an obscuration that is presenting to you. Like, there's always a level at which we can work if we are able to grasp, and apply ourselves.
Right.
But at a certain point, that could fall into like not having a full precious human existence because you have an impairment that doesn't allow you to study, contemplate, and practice the Dharma effectively.
Okay.
But if we're talking about someone who, say, has depression and it is workable and they can understand the Dharma and they could see how they might apply it, you wouldn't expect it to get rid of that depression like in one fell swoop, but you could certainly work on it. That's my feeling. Like, any kind of mental obscuration, mental state that impairs your functioning, I think there's an entry point and you could do it. But it's all, it's just all up to what the individual situation is.
Sure.
And how much access they have to teachings that are going to help them and how much they can see through their confusion to apply it. Because what you're really talking about is deeper levels of confusion.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you introduced it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Oh, Lama Jinzong has a thought on that. Okay. You're unmuted.
We just have to be, I just want to be, make sure we're really careful because... Lama Norla Rinpoche always, always, always stressed that, I'm only bringing this up because you mentioned schizophrenia, but, depression and a lot of different types of mental illnesses can be the result of a weird brain chemistry and imbalance and an imbalance in chemistry. And just like people take high blood pressure medicine, he always supported people taking medicines that would enable them to get to a point where they could then apply the Dharma. And I only want to say here that it's important that some people have misconstrued the teachings to think that somehow the Dharma enough in this day and age can help you, and that if you apply the Dharma perfectly, you don't need the extra chemistry. And in that sense, and then haven't been able to apply the Dharma because, whatever, properly. So I just want to say that out loud, that when you say things like, can these teachings be beneficial? How do you work with, I think Lama Chidrin's response was absolutely spot on. And I just wanted to say that, again, to highlight the fact that in many cases, like we've had at the monastery where people have tried to do retreat, the issue is that if people have needed to have medicines and they could use them and then they were able to practice, go for it, and not to assume that somehow you should be able to do it Dharma alone, because that makes the blame on oneself, saying, well, I'm just not practicing well enough, So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Thank you. And I think it's very analogous. I think that's a really excellent point, and people are nodding. And I think that it's analogous to when you're physically ill.
Mm-hmm.
When we did the Medicine Buddha practice earlier today before the teaching, and the Medicine Buddha holds like healing herb, like you medicine, the physical medicine, and then you also are working to clear your mental, you know, obstructions and karma that are bringing about the situation. So anybody have any further to say
brain,
on that?
Brain chemistry is a physical thing.
Yes, brain chemistry is a physical thing. Yeah. So Rama said that brain chemistry is a physical thing and it has to be addressed. And you can like go deeper, like if you're not in, you know, something like that. I mean, at a certain level, you can look at like, well, where does anything physically come from? That's partly our karma. So that's another reason that we want to do what we can in this lifetime to clear up our confusion so that we don't have the karma that manifests in the next lifetime as really thick obscurations. But again, take the medicine, do what you have to do with the physical component. And if that allows you then to practice the Dharma, then that can only help, I think. But you have to do it, you know, with the full, you know, have to use all the tools that you have and not just rely on the Dharma as some kind of magic thing, because it doesn't really work like that. Okay, thank you. Lama Jinzong, anything further? Lama Jinzong?
No, Dave, I think.
Okay, I didn't have gallery view on. Dave? Dave has some background in, would you call your background? Because I'll say it wrong.
So I'm bipolar, mainly with depression, and I was also an alcoholic and used like pretty much every drug to self-medicate at one time way back in my background. And so I would say, even though I was exposed to the Dharma very early, I had the drive, so I had the ability to study, and I had a lot of mental problems and physical problems where I felt like I still needed to drink and to do other things where I couldn't practice as well, but it still set the seed in there. And then by working with medication and, you know, finally getting away from the chemical stuff, I think I brought myself into a range where you would say I'm more like the precious human existence, where you can really start to then meditate. And I think it was actually stronger for me because, you know, you have that much drive. It's you've seen things be that bad. I mean, if you're like literally, you know, like seeing stuff. I mean, I wasn't schizophrenic, but I identified with people, and I knew people who were schizoaffective bipolar. So I would say that like you still do the meds and everything, but then you can also start to get more like due to neuroplasticity. I think you can actually do within the like large realm of change of the meds, you can start a smaller realm of change that can start to get you, like, I'm much better than I was just on medication. I think that's from meditation practice. So, you know, and that's also, I think, like the 12 links, you know, within the lifetime, right? Like I'm almost like I'm a different person than I was then. I joke, like, to me, I've lived like two different lifetimes. And actually, like, you know, I feel like I've had to go back and relearn a lot of stuff that people learn emotionally later on, you know. But absolutely, this stuff applies like so directly that I'm very surprised. And especially like within psychological therapy for anxiety and depression, mindfulness became a therapeutic method, like an approved therapeutic thing a number of years ago. And now a new thing called compassion-focused therapy that I've been working on literally does like Buddhist practice. Like it's literally, you have mindfulness, which they already had, and then the compassion is like metta or tonglen. And they're finding that that develops resiliency and can be used also to get out of like a self-shaming loop that's kind of like Lama Jinzong was talking about there. Like when, you know, and that has to be, you have to be very careful about that, because early on in my dharmic, you know, exposure, and I think Lama Norla put some seeds into me that took years, but like really opened me up.
I'm just going to interrupt. David Kathy Rogers' son, for those who know Kathy Rogers, longtime student of Lama Norla. So he met Lama Norla from a very early age.
Yeah. And he like put blessings in and like, you know, I listened to his teaching there, even when I was still totally in the grips of alcohol. And, you know, it just put the seed in there, and it didn't work right away. But, you know, there's definitely, there's that effect. And then there's now they're getting better with psychological therapies to, you know, to enhance the medications. And in particular, like, if you know any, like, psychologically, the therapies, this is forward from cognitive behavioral therapy. So they have cognitive behavioral therapy, which is addressing the bad thinking. And then now you have the emotional aspect of, like, what we do. So it's really definitely can be workable within the not having a precious human existence. Like, I think you can actually go from not having a precious human existence to having it if you have the right circumstance.
Thank you. That is the voice of experience answering. Really good question. Thank you for sharing that, Dave. Okay. Anybody else want to say anything or have a question? Okay. Well, we have 10 minutes left. Well, it gives us time to look at Bokar Rinpoche, which we probably won't get back to Trungpa Rinpoche, but that's fine. I think it was a really useful discussion because speaking from our own comparing with our own experience, speaking from our own experience is what's going to help us all understand this and be able to actually use it. So in Bokar Rinpoche's Profound Wisdom of the Heart Sutra on page 36, if you have this book, he explains the 12 links. And so we're going to read the whole two pages. So some of it we've been over today, but it's, you know, going over it again and again is how we remember it. So he quotes from the Heart Sutra, "There is no ignorance, no cessation of ignorance, and so on up to no old age and death, no cessation of old age and death." So what do we recognize that as? That's link one, no ignorance, through link 12, no old age and death. Like they don't ultimately exist is what the point is here. So what Bokar Rinpoche says is we have seen the lack of self-existence of the different constituents of the I. So he's just demolished the five skandhas, the five components of like how we identify ourselves as a separate being. So we've just looked at the five skandhas, and we have seen that this I, the way that we think of ourself, is really emptiness, which means it doesn't exist the way we think it exists. And that emptiness was not to be found elsewhere. Like there's no emptiness other than seeing this thing that we think of as solid as being actually empty. There's no emptiness that's separate from appearances, from form. So he says, now the text affirms that there is no ignorance. So, and then he goes through the links. This ignorance, nevertheless, is at the root itself of the 12 interdependent links. It's the first of them. It is the origin, the beginning, the source of appearance of all suffering in the cycle of existence. However, this ignorance does not actually cover or block or veil our mind. The self nature of our mind, our mind's own nature, is emptiness, free of any characteristics. So speaking from the second turning of the wheel emptiness perspective here, the non-recognition of this fundamental mode of the mind is called ignorance. That is our confusion. Is taking ourselves for a solid, separate entity and everything else as a solid other entity. That is our basic confusion. Let's see, somebody is muted you, we've muted you. Okay, had to remute a couple of people because I had not done that earlier and we were getting a little noise. Okay, at our level, this ignorance manifests crudely, verifying that we are constitutionally unable to see from where we come and to where we are going. Where do beings come from? Where do they go? What are the causes of suffering or joy? And so on. We are unable to see all these phenomena directly. It is only from this fundamental ignorance that the concept of a self-existing I can appear. So from that fundamental ignorance link two, the second of these interdependent links is mental formation. third from mental formation appears the individual consciousness. That's the four skandhas that make up sort of our personality. Fourth, individual consciousness, and it allows the manifestation of name and form, where we get a form to go with the four mental aggregates. Number five, faculties of perception are organized in visual, olfactory, gustatory, tactile, auditory, and mental senses. So in the Buddhist, like the way that things are explained in Buddhism, we have already got six senses. You don't have to have like some special power to have a sixth sense, because the sixth sense is the mental sense. It's our thoughts. Number six, contact can happen. Contact is the meeting between an object considered as outer and the sense organ, which is inner. Seven, this contact produces pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral feeling. Eight, feeling engenders craving, a desire to make, or grasping, we're calling it. Feeling engenders craving, a desire to make this feeling last or go away. From the negative aspect. Ninth, craving culminates in grasping. That is, one takes over this feeling, identifies with it, and tries to repeat it. Like, that's where Trungpa Rinpoche says we have the plan. 10, from this grasping, from having a plan, becoming occurs. Becoming, or action, like the action that really gives us like the full embodiment of, you know, the thing that's been developing. From this grasping, becoming occurs. Becoming finds its full expression in the so-called three worlds. That's we'll call it the six realms, for, you know, to go with the chart. Like, it's like how all beings manifest. 11, becoming ends in birth, which for us translates as obtaining a body. And then 12, birth causes the appearance of old age, which finds its accomplishment in death, ending the cycle of the 12 interdependent links. So we all know all that. Everybody knows all that now. Now we'll see what he has to say about how emptiness relates to this, which is the antidote to ignorance. The cycle of existence manifests following the mode of the 12 interdependent links, which have their roots, their origin, in ignorance. And he explains that he's not talking temporally, like, you know, like the cause comes before the effect. He's saying these 12 links are called, he says, not with a temporal meaning, but rather as a base for appearance. This is harking back to that mystifying thing that Kala Rinpoche says in Luminous Mind, that the links are not, like, prior link doesn't cause the next link, but they all have to be present at the same time for the experience to occur. So this is going to illuminate that a little bit. He says these 12 links are called interdependent because one link cannot exist without the others. There's no ignorance without all the others. There's no emptiness without form. There's no form without emptiness. These 12 links are called interdependent because one link cannot exist without the others. The necessary condition for the appearance of these links is the existence of the other ones. One could believe that it is because these 12 links are real that the cycle of existence, and this is translated like from the Tibetan into French and from the French into English by a French person. So it's not always like quite the way we might express it. But one could believe that it is because these 12 links are real that the cycle of existence can manifest. So that this happens means that it's real. We could think that, and we do think that. This is not correct, however. These 12 links appear only as a manifestation of the mind that functions in an illusory mode. Only happens because we see things. We see what is illusory as real. We take what is illusory, what is not ultimately real, as ultimately real. And that's what the teachings on emptiness are an antidote for. That's what the Heart Sutra is an antidote for. That's why we recite it every day, to remind ourselves that, no, all that stuff I experienced today was not ultimately real. Like, whatever it caused me to say, think, and do, oh, right, it wasn't real. It wasn't so serious. So he goes on to say, how does it happen then that samsara manifests if it ain't real? In fact, phenomena can manifest, and this is like Lama Jinzong, if it weren't in the text, Lama Jinzong would bring this up. always brings this, she always remembers this and shares this with us. So how does it happen then that samsara can manifest if it isn't real, if it's illusory? In fact, phenomena can manifest appearing as reality without requiring a real base. This is illustrated by the classic example
of the dream.
Of a dream. We can dream of a complete existence with this experience, right? It seems real when you're dreaming it, right? Like you're completely caught up in it. It's completely solid. Like you really like die. Well, maybe Cedar Richard says we never die in dreams, but yeah, I have died in dreams. Not that he does not have ultimate wisdom greater than mine, but when he said that, I really wanted to raise my hand and say, I have died in a dream. So we can dream of a complete existence with its experiences. When we awaken, we become aware that that complete existence was only an illusion with no real base unfolding outside in the so-called real world. What is valid for the dream is also valid for the reality when we wake up. So that's why we call it awakening, because we're really awakening from a dream of taking something that is, of taking something as solid and real and permanent and really affecting us. Taking that as real when it's really just like a dream, it's really an illusion. What is valid for the dream is also valid for the reality when we awake. So we're almost done, two more paragraphs. We see that the 12 interdependent links and the cycle of existence find their origin in ignorance, link number one. But this ignorance itself is without its own existence. Remember in the Heart Sutra, it starts with no ignorance and no end of ignorance. So ignorance itself doesn't really exist. That is affirmed in the text, meaning the Heart Sutra, there is no ignorance. This affirmation refers to the level of ultimate reality, where in effect, ignorance does not exist. At the level of relative reality, however, it exists. So this whole 12 links thing, this is only relative reality. Ultimate reality, no ignorance, no mental formations, no consciousness. And the Heart Sutra actually says that. It takes them apart one by one, although in the short Heart Sutra, which is the one that we usually chant, it's a bit abbreviated. It says no ignorance, no end of ignorance, all the way through no aging and death, and no end of aging and death. So last paragraph in this section, if therefore there was no ignorance, no man, oh, well, I'm always doing that, like I've read this before, so I think I'm saying something from my own mind, but I'm really saying what was in the next paragraph. Therefore, there was no ignorance, no manifestation of karmic tendencies or formations would appear, and by this fact, neither would consciousness, feeling, or any other one of the subsequent links. By the fact that this first origin, which is ignorance, does not exist, that means the 12 interdependent links have no existence. Again, talking ultimately, we have to deal with them relatively. We can't make the mistake, and this is the mistake that we make the most frequently, is to confuse ultimate and relative. And then we think that, oh, this isn't really happening, therefore I don't have to concern myself with it. But we do, because relatively it is happening. So the 12 links do not exist ultimately. It is what is expressed in the words, there is no ignorance. That is what is expressed. There's no ignorance. It means none of it exists ultimately. So in summary, it is the negation of the 12 interdependent links as we listed them. So just totally, you know, knock down everything we've been studying for the last like 5 or 6 weeks. Okay, so that's, we are past 1 o'clock now, a little bit past. So we won't read anymore. Does anybody have any final question or thing they need to say that can be done concisely? Okay, it looks all clear. Okay, so then we will, on that note, and that is a good note to take out with us. That is a good perspective to always keep. And I recommend that you chant the Heart Sutra like every day to remind yourself that as we study the 12 links so seriously and really try to understand them, ultimately, none of this is really happening. And if we could just understand that, we wouldn't need to study the 12 links because we wouldn't have any confusion and we wouldn't have any suffering. So now we will pull out once again for the final time today the prayers to be recited at teachings sheet, and we will dedicate any benefit from this study, contemplation, and meditation. We did the meditation before. To the awakening of all beings. May all beings understand the 12 links And may they be able to intervene where they can, and may they eventually like dispel ignorance and become fully awakened. And may we all, that includes us, may we do that too. I'm going to remute everybody that's unmuted right now because it's a train wreck when we have multiple inputs. Mute all. Okay. It takes me more. I'm like getting old. Okay. All right. So let's, alas. That's, all right. No aging. Let's stick with the no aging part. I'm going with no aging. Thank you, Marilyn. We're going to forget the no end of aging. Yes. Right. Yes. Yes. And if I could just look at it from the ultimate point of view, absolutely no problem, right? No problem. Okay. This merit, may it win omniscience, defeat my faults, the enemy. Then from the rough and stormy sea of birth, old age, death, and disease, from this ocean of samsara, may I liberate all these. They know things in their true existence, confuse Ampo and Manjushri. To train myself in their example, I dedicate this practice fully. May every being through this practice completely gather merit and wisdom, attaining the two sacred bodies that merit and wisdom emanate. The blessings of the Buddha Kayas, the blessings of changeless Dharmata, the blessings of the steadfast Sangha, this dedication please fulfill.
So we just spent this whole hour studying the 12 links. Like, where did they go now? We're on to the next moment of our existence. Okay, I'll unmute everybody and we'll say goodbye. Okay, everybody's unmuted.